Okay, so we left off last week in pretty much in May of 1948, and I'd like to pick up from that point now. And to make the observation, the somewhat wry observation, that a good deal of the music of the early state of Israel, that is, songs that were written after May of 1948, were somewhat on the sad and sorrowful side. Something I could have made specific reference to it last week since it was Yom HaZikaron, but in any event, it's difficult to confine the memories of people who died in defense or in the establishment of the State of Israel to just one 24-hour period during the year. In essence, just about every day deserves to be a Yom Zikaron. So I should point out that not so much the absolute number, but the percentage of people who died during the Israeli War of Independence, during Milchemet HaShichrur, is particularly high. The estimates run between 6 and 7,000 out of a total Jewish population of maybe 500,000. It means that pretty much a full percentage of the existing population, Jewish population of the State of Israel, died in the war that began in May of 1948. Therefore, it shouldn't be surprising that, as I said, a good deal of the early songs of the State of Israel reflect this national sorrow or national tragedy. And that's why several of the songs that we look at today are in this somewhat sorrowful mode. I found a couple that are somewhat more upbeat to end with, so that we should, end b'chitov, so to speak. But let me put you into the sources, which indeed you do have, and be a bit more specific. Okay. So the very first song that I want to look at with you is the famous song that commemorates the battles that took place in order to open a road to Jerusalem, which was put under siege by the Arabs in the spring of 1948. And the song bears the title Bab el-Wad. Bab is Arabic for a gate or a doorway. The Talmudists among you will, of course, recognize the Aramaic word bava, which has the same meaning. Wad is a word in Hebrew too, except that in Hebrew it's usually called a wadi, a gully. Bab el-Wad literally means the entrance to the valley or the entrance to the wadi. Specifically, it's a place on the road to Jerusalem that played a crucial and unfortunately a tragic role in the early history of modern Israel. Already 10 years before the establishment of the state, during the Arab uprisings of 1936 to 1939, the Arabs already realized that the potential of this narrow part of the road to Jerusalem to set up ambushes. And during the War of Independence, they began blocking the road to Jerusalem there at Sha'ar Hagai, at the entrance to the valley, with the goal of preventing supplies from reaching Jerusalem. And that included food and water and medicine. They sabotaged a pumping station that was situated near the Sha'ar Hagai in order to cut off the water supply to Jerusalem entirely. And that is why in Jerusalem during the early months of the State of Israel, it was under siege, and water and other essential commodities were rationed. The Arabs also recruited volunteers to ambush convoys and to loot them all along the road to Jerusalem. And there were two Arab villages in particular, one of which features in the song. If you take a look at the very end of the first Hebrew stanza, it talks about Or Kochav Rishon, the first star of the night. Me'ever is appearing above a place called Beit Machsir. Beit Machsir was an Arab village. And Beit Machsir was, along with a nearby village called Saris, were two of the places that were situated in greatest proximity to this narrowest point along the road. And along with a rather elevated position that overlooked a good deal of the road to Jerusalem, which you can also see on the map, called the Castel. These were the places from which both soldiers and what has come to be known as the irregulars, that is to say, just ordinary Arabs who took up arms against the new state of Israel, would launch these attacks on the convoys. It really wasn't until quite a bit later that they were able to open a separate road to Jerusalem, one that bypassed these Arab villages and therefore was safe, relatively safe from attack. That road, that alternate road to Jerusalem, came to be known as the Burma Road, based on something that transpired during the Second World War on the Eastern Front. And it was through this Burma Road, part of which was built and fortified under the supervision of an American Jewish officer named Colonel David Marcus, that was able eventually to relieve the siege of Jerusalem. So what we have first to begin with is a song that is dedicated specifically to the to these convoys that were bottled up, as it were, at this bottleneck called Shar Hagai, Bab El Wad, and were therefore subjected to attacks by the Arabs and earned many casualties. The poet Chaim Guri, himself a member of the Palmach and well known for many of his other poetic compositions, which subsequently were put to music and became popular Israeli songs. And with that, I'll leave the words. You can see them here too. And let me, here we go.
Zah zchor na et shmoteinu Shayaro Artu baderech el ha'im Betzidei Haderech mutalim meteinu Sheled ha'barzel shotek kemo re'im Babelwa Lanetzach zchor na et Babel wa baderech el ha'im Uradu b'asher meshtzeret yofer Uadru leilo v'esh v'sakim Po shochenim b'yachad etzev v'tifer ושוריין חרוב ושם של אלמוני בבן בן הנצחון נחשבותינו שיירו ארצו בדרך אל החיים בצידי הדרך מוטלים מתינו שלד הפרסל שותק כמורה בבלווה הנצח זכור נעש בבלווה בדרך אל החיים ואני הולך עובר כך חרשכם ואני זוכר אותם אחד אחד כאן לחמנו יחד על צוקים ודרש כאן היינו יחד משפחה אחת בבלווה לנצח זכור נא את שמותינו שיירות פרצו בדרך אל החיים בצידי הדרך מוטלים מתינו שלד הברסל שותק כמורי בבלווה לנצח זכור נא את שמותינו בבלווה בדרך אל החיים יום אביב יבוא רקפות תפרחנה קודם כלנית בהר ובמורן זה אשר ילך בדרך שהלך לא ישכח אותנו בבלווה בבלווה לנצח זכור נא את שמותינו שיירו פרצו בדרך אל העיר בצידי הדרך מוטלים מתינו שלד הברסל שותק כמורה בבלווה לנצח זכור נא את שמותינו בבלווה בדרך אל החיים.
So not so much today with the way that rote number 1 Kvish Mispar Echad has been enlarged considerably so that many of the Sheled HaBarzel, many of the skeletons of the trucks that were part of these convoys that in earlier years were literally on the shoulders of the road. It was impossible not to notice them. These days, as I said, as the road has been widened and expanded considerably, these skeletons have also been moved, and they're certainly less prominent today than they were in the past. I want to take a look with you specifically at the last two stanzas. Where the author says, I'm switching here to the source sheets, and I'm looking at this paragraph over here, okay, the one that I just highlighted, the opening sentence. The author, Chaim Guri, who, as I said, was himself a member of the Palmach. And if you noted, the rendition of this song was by Yaffa Yarkoni, whom we've already established on two previous occasions, was herself a member of the Palmach and participated specifically in several of the battles around Jerusalem. The author writes, "Va'ani holech over kan cheresh cheresh," that he walks about these sites where these battles took place quietly. "Va'ani zocher otam echad echad." Now, does he zocher otam, the antecedent of the pronoun, what does he remember one by one? Does he remember the different military engagements? Or is it that he's actually remembering all of the soldiers who participated in these battles, and he remembers them individually? And he says, "Kan lachamnu," here we fought, "yachad," together, "atzukim v'teresh," on rocky places, "kan hayinu yachad mishpacha achad." And he says, in essence, that all of these different soldiers were basically formed together into one family by virtue of having to be together under these extreme circumstances. Again, something that should be pointed out, and many of you know this, Israel in 1948 was so desperate for manpower in the army that displaced persons who were arriving now legally, right, because the state of Israel could admit them. I'm not talking about those who came illegally, those who came legally, boatloads of new immigrants were taken, basically walked off the ship, and were essentially handed, if it was available, a uniform and a weapon, and were immediately inducted into the military. So that what you basically had in any Israeli platoon were people from all over the world speaking a variety of languages, and as Chaim Guri notes, that their collective stance against the Arabs basically unified them. And then the last stanza, the one that you heard Yaffa Yarkoni recite rather than sing, is again this idea that we not only look back, but we look forward as well. "Yom Aviv Yado," a day, a spring day. Again, it was spring when this happened, okay? But we're now looking towards spring in the future. "Yom Aviv Yado, v'rakafot tifrachna." The rakafet, cyclamen, different flowers will blossom. "Odem kalanit bahar uvamurad," and the anemone will shine its bright red colors, both on the mountain and on the slopes of the mountain. "Zeh asher yelech baderach shehalachnu," and anybody who now, in the future, will walk along this road, will walk along the path that these soldiers took previously, he has one request. "Al yishkach otanu." Let them not forget the sacrifices that were made in order to open the road, "Otanu Babelwad," to open the road to Jerusalem. The next song, I simply pulled this off the internet, just a few words that I already summarized for you about the Burma Road, that alternate road to Jerusalem that was opened during the War of Independence. But the next song, by a completely different author, is dedicated to the same purpose and essentially to the same situation. It's called Shayara Shelanu, Our Convoy. And again, the reference specifically is to convoys that tried to alleviate the siege of Jerusalem. And it was written by the poet Natan Yonatan, who at the time hadn't changed his name yet and was still Natan Klein, was written to preserve a specific memory. He apparently had a very, very good friend who died in one of these convoys to Jerusalem. And it was to commemorate his friend and others like him that he wrote this song that says, "Shuv yotze hazemer el haderech," that now it's not a convoy, right? This is, again, a retrospective, but it also looks forward. Now what is going on to the road, what is departing on a journey, is not the convoy, but it's the song about the convoy. "Shuv holchim yamenu," days go by, uvochim, and some of them are tragic. Shayara, and he looks to the convoy and he asks, El ana at overet, where are you headed? Shirina atsuv al hadrachim. And he says that the song that the convoy could sing is a tragic song, a mournful song. Shuv noset at pat kiber umayim. The convoys are carrying pat kiber, that's bread that's made from coarse flour, and water. Again, you know, basics. The basic supplies to relieve, as I said, the what was in many cases in Jerusalem a near famine. And it also carries tarmilim, knapsacks, tugashel merchavim, that are strewn about as it were in the distance. Shuv tola at ayin bashamayim. And the convoy once again, as it were, looks above, umishol bintiva kochavim, searching for, seeking, as it were, a pathway among the stars. Alata, darkness descends, rak kol rinat ha-neshech, and there is silence save for the sounds of gunfire. E bazeh ha-derech chasuma, somewhere along the way there will be an obstacle blocking the road. At shayarati, the convoy is gluyat einayim, it travels with its eyes open, right? It's constantly looking for danger. Rak kadur ha-mavet husuma. In opposition, as it were, to the convoy, which is clear-eyed, the danger, the lethal danger, represented here by the Kadur HaMavet, by a bullet fired by an Arab irregular, is blind, meaning that anybody who went out on these convoys could have been a victim of it. I was Googling, and one of the things that I entered into Google is the Hebrew phrase Kvish HaGvura, which is a reference to the struggle to clear a path to Jerusalem. It gave me this very interesting thing from Google Maps. You can see it. It shows different ways, different roads to go from the vicinity of Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And there's an apparatus here on the left, let me clear it, where you can choose any one of several different options in order to see what literally were the options that were available in 1948. It may be difficult for you to see them or to read them now. If you're interested in it, you know, then you, as I said, just simply put the Hebrew words Kvish HaGvurah into Google, and you'll get this answer for Google Maps, and it'll be right here. So you see that this is called the Kvish HaYashan, the old road. Okay, the one that basically now is route number one. Okay, the alternative, right, as you see, bypasses. Let me put them both up so you can see what it shows to bypass. Okay, so obviously the difference, the distance here from what they have point A to point B along this road was clearly vulnerable. And therefore, they took the road here, which took it largely through Jewish settlements and avoided Arab settlements. So this was simply one way but again, it only got you as far as point B. And it's from point B here to Jerusalem that it is really, let's see if I can make it a bit bigger so you can see some of the names. So here, Abu Ghosh, right? You pass it still today on the main road in and out of Jerusalem, but it's along this stretch of the road here, from here to here, that the convoys were most vulnerable. And therefore, once again, there were other options beyond that point. Okay? As you can see, a variety of different options. This essentially was the Burma Road, right? This one, I'm going to take it off now and put it back up. The one that goes here, from this point to here, to Neve Ilan, right? This was the Burma Road, okay? And here, let me move these and just take the last one, okay? This is what's called the Kvish HaGvurah, right? Let's compare it again to the new, to the present road. So you can see again, this was a completely alternative route to Jerusalem. One that, as I said, basically went through places that were populated largely by Jews rather than going along the ancient road, which was largely populated by Arabs. And we move from here to yet a third song that recollects these tragic times and battles that were fought in 1948. And again, by the poet Chaim Guri, we have a song that is called Hare'ut. You may remember that the point that Guri himself made in the Bab El Wad song, how all of the different soldiers who fought together under these trying circumstances were forged together into a family. Okay, therefore, this song is devoted to the concept of re'ut, the concept of camaraderie. And it recalls, again, the fact that these were not total strangers, but were brothers in arms.
Just so you'll know, your screen sharing is still on the map.
Again, just to look at the stanza that repeats itself. Sorry. Ach nizkoret kulam, that we'll remember all of the casualties. Et yefei hablorit v'hatohar, those who were handsome, those whose hair was done nicely. Kireut shekazot, because the kind of camaraderie that existed amongst these soldiers. La'olam lo titen et libenu lishkoach. We will never be able to forget this camaraderie, because it was based on ahava mikudeshet bedam, on love that was sanctified by the blood that they spilled. At this love, tashuvi beinenu lifroach. It's an expression of hope that this kind of unity that existed under these trying circumstances, that hopefully it will perpetuate itself. And that takes us now to a slightly more upbeat notion, and it's a slightly older song. I wanted to include several more songs by Yaakov Orland. Just to remind you, Yaakov Orland was the composer of the words to Rav Halayla. You may remember that we devoted a whole session to early songs of the pioneers that were set to Hasidic tunes, right? Tunes that we associate with portions of the davening. And one of those songs was Rad HaLaila, right? It went da 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 da. Sounds like a typical Hasidic melody. Da 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 da. In fact, if you remember, Yaakov Orland himself wrote that he composed the words in order to help his father remember the tune. He wrote that his father was a regular participant in the davening in the Beit Midrash of the Boyana Hasidim in Yerushalayim, and on one occasion he returned home singing this melody and trying to remember it. And he told his father that it's easier to remember a melody when it's put to words than it is to remember the tune without any words. So he basically wrote Rad HaLaila Rav Shirenu as a way to give his father an opportunity to remember the tomb. So this is yet another poem written by Yaakov Orland. It's like some that we've seen previously. It is as though it's a reminiscence between a man and a woman, if you wish, a boyfriend and a girlfriend. It's called Hayu Leilot, right? There, once upon a time, there were Leilot, there were evenings, there were night times. Ani Otam Zocheret, which I remember. Ani Otam Atzof Yamai Asah, I'd be able to carry the memory throughout my entire life. The Misholim on the pathways. Ben the Ganya LeKineret, right? These are the places in which, at least in the 1930s, in the Galil, these were where we would find some of the early Chalutzim. And along these pathways, between the Ganya and Kineret, Amda Eglat Chayai HaAmusa. There was stationed what he calls the wagon of my lifetime, the heavy laden wagon of my life. In essence, himself, his experience. Okay. Vunigash. And a man steps forward and he says, Shimia like Tantonet. He addresses the girl and he says, listen to me. Ani beveti bayit l'shivtech. Baniti bayit l'shivtech. I am prepared to build, or I have built a home to accommodate you. If in turn, atir kemi ba'erev li kutonet, if you spend your evenings weaving a shirt for me, ani en hag bayom et eglatech, then during the day, I will assist, as it were, in schlepping along your heavy laden wagon. Who, this gentleman, hayaaz bahir v'gavoa kezemer, he was a clear complexion, and he was as tall as a Zemer. Zemer is apparently an early Hebrew attempt, to provide a pure Hebrew word for what today most Israelis call a giraffe. Okay? Meaning somebody was exceptionally tall. Vuhu nahaga galot l'sadeh harachav, and he was a wagon master. Vani lo kutonet hayiti rokemet, and in exchange for his assistance in helping me with my wagon, I wove this shirt for him. Kutonet shel tchelet, a blue shirt, im perach zahav, but embroidered with a golden flower. And I like Esther Ofarim, so let's listen to her again.
Ani otam
And now slightly, considerably more upbeat, again by Yaakov Orland, a song called Hora Tov, something that by his own, through his own notes, he composed in the early 1930s at one of the, for a Purim celebration. I think we can just enjoy it. Sovavuni, lahat esh boeret. I'm surrounded, as it were, by blazing fires. I don't think this was for Purim, right? Next Tuesday is Lag BaOmer, and Lag BaOmer is usually more associated with blazing fires than Purim. But in any event, rakduli shir yachid, and he's calling people to dance a particular dance. Zeh hazemer, to this tune. Zeh ve'en acherod, it's a special tune. Ein acher od letamid. This is a particularly good tune. Therefore, he says tov, tov, and if he repeats it four more times, tov, 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 tov hazemer. This song is good ad ein sof, in perpetuity. Lo yitam, there's no end to it. Lo yachalof, it won't be replaced. Bilvavenu akodeach, in our hearts, in which the passion burns. Mitlamimu miyareach, as we go out, as it were, out to the fields. Laila, laila, laila uvasheket, at night when it's quiet, mitlakeach hamachol. The people, when they were back in their settlements and weren't out in the fields, so that is when there would be, you know, rikudeyam, dancing. Kol chayenu avukado leket, throughout our lives, there is a torch that is lit, lemachar v'laitmo. And again, as I said, it's in keeping with this theme that we've been following throughout this class, about looking in both directions, looking backwards and looking forwards. Sov, 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 that the circle keeps going round and around. Sov, nasov, aden, sov. It's as though we'll never stop going around. Lo yitam, lo yachalof, the same idea. Beleleinu hazoreach, hamachol hamitlakeach, and again, the dancing. And here's the song. Let's try.
Oh,
I have a very, very acute observation to make. I'm going to replay a little portion of this, if I can get it back to the beginning. Let me let it go all the way. Okay. If you listen very carefully, okay, if you can see on the left-hand side of the screen, okay, this is a choir, apparently from the voices, a choir of young people, in 1961, okay? Listen carefully to their pronunciation of the word bo'eret and rikiduli. Okay? If you've been noticing, the singers I've chosen until now, Yaffa Yarkoni, Esther Ofarim, and others, were still of a generation in which the letter resh was pronounced by placing the tongue at the roof of the mouth and trilling. Eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. That began to change in the 60s. And you can listen to these young children who've already adopted what today is the standard pronunciation, which produces the resh back in the throat. Eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. I saw not too long ago a discussion on the website of the Academia LaLashon HaYivrit, and they basically have thrown their hands up in despair, and although they continue to maintain that the proper pronunciation of the resh is that way, they can't do anything about it. So just listen carefully. I'm just going to replay the opening stanza. And there you go. Okay, our last song for this morning. I'm sure many of you know it. Shir HaBokrim, the Cowboys song. And again, its author, its composer was Yaakov Orland. And he wrote it during the early 1950s, the early years of the state, when apparently American folk music, and particularly Western music, was reasonably popular in Israel. And it's all about the Arava in Kates, about the endless prairies in Israel that are visited by the Bokrim, by the cowboys. And this is all about the Zemer HaBokrim. And since we're a little bit short of time, let me get somebody in whom we haven't heard from yet. And here we go. Again, listen to the pronunciation. This is Theodore Bekel. Arra.
Lo arar lo dar dar lo etz ruwa ba'amibara. Lo arar lo dar dar lo etz ruwa ba'amibara. Demer habokrim yale ve'yifka al merchavim apudim lelo gemer. ותזרח החמה ותשקע, ומוסיף וקולח הזמר, ערבה ערבה אלמון. שנות אלפים קמו, הבוקר על גב סוס קדמון, בדרכים שנשמו. הבוקר על גב סוס קדמון, בדרכים שנשמו. Shalom heor sol mesilot era ki ata hamaoz vador ben mardo ben havere ki ata hamaoz vador ben mardo ben havere zemer habokrim yale veifka al rechei lim veilim lo zemer ותזרח החמה ותשכח ומוסיף לקלח הזמר ערבה ערבה אני בל יחסך רלם נחרש נעתך אני את ימי כקדם נחרש נעתך אני את ימי כקדם
See, even got a few of the cowboy sounds into it. Okay, let me take a quick look at the chat. Okay, I think these all straightened themselves out. Okay, good. I'm glad we all had a chance to enjoy those songs. And since next week, as I said, is Lag BaOmer, I'll see if I can't find a couple of Meron favorites to throw in. We'll otherwise see if we can't find a couple of songs that focus on places in the Galilee, just Lichvod Lag BaOmer and Lichvod Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So until then, everybody, have a pleasant week and a good weekend, and I'll see you again next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sokolow. Shavua Tov.
Thank you. Shavua Tov. Toda rabah.
Thank you very much.